Amen. Are we ready for the word tonight?
Let this break down inside of your heart. Let this do a work in your life. Don't ignore this tonight. Let this do a work inside of your heart. Get a hold of this tonight, I beg you. Don't let this pass you by. Oh, you are not as the world. You are not as the world. Get that in your spirit. You're not like the world. You've been separated. You've been moved out from that. You're better than that. You're better than that. You don't have to walk around and moping. You don't have to walk around with your head held low. But tonight, hold it up. Hold it up tonight. Tonight, hold your hand up high. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. Hold your head up high. You are a child of God. Tonight, hold your pride up high in Him, for He has blessed you abundantly. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read there for a few minutes. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about what God has laid upon our hearts. Hallelujah. We're going to read in the 22nd verse. We're going to read about the light of God tonight. The light of God. The power of the light of God. It has many functions. It does many things. And hallelujah, it's not something that we should just take for granted. We don't take lights for granted. Hallelujah. The first moment in time that the power goes off in our house, we run to the telephone and call the electric company, and we never have any good thoughts to say, do we? No, of course not. No, we don't. We always call and say, the power's out. And buddy, I want it back on. I pay my money to have the lights on in my house. If we don't get the lights turned on in the middle of the winter, we'll go look for a flashlight. We'll turn on our cell phone lights. We'll flick a lighter just to be able to get to the bathroom. Come on, somebody. A little light goes a long way. Amen. I know you got it in there. Amen. Come on, come alive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. Hallelujah. The little light goes a long way. We're going to read tonight, 22nd verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew. And it reads like this. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We'll go read in verse 33 of the same chapter, and it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then it says in 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we begin to read about the light of the body is what? The eye, right? And I begin to think about the eye and how that we witness the amount of light that we see based on our eye. Our eye dictates the amount of volume of light that we bear witness to. So therefore, our eye is what? Our seeker. It is what we see with. It is what it bears witness to the light. So therefore, when we say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, what are we using? Our seeker, right? So when you're out in life, you are what? The seeker in that, right? When you're out in the world and you're having to make those tough calls and decisions about what you are putting first in life, you are your own eye, right? You are making those choices in life, right? You are having to make the choices about where God is first in something, or whether you're making a choice and putting God afterward. In other words, you are the eye of your life. You are making the decision on whether you are going to put God and let Him illuminate that light in your life. And how easy that it is. And that's what it was talking about, that darkness. How easy that it is that darkness can begin to consume where there is no light. And how easy that it is that when we begin to walk away from a well-lit room, or how that you can have a well-lit room here, even as a church, and walk outside where it is dark. And the further that you walk away, the harder that it is to be able to see. But again, as we said, a little light goes a long way. A little bit of the Word of God goes a long way. But bless God, a lot of the Word of God goes a long way. And tonight the message is simply this. When we seek God, there's something about how we seek. There's something about getting in there and seeking for the light of God. The light of God does many things. It illuminates our path. And it gives us direction. There's so many things that we seek God for every single day. And so often we're led into confusion. And so often we need direction in just everyday choices, everyday things, seeking God for everyday things. And God can help us with everyday choices. God can give us peace in everyday small things if we would just put Him first. If we would begin to just call out on God first. Not before we encounter these things, but even before any of that would begin to come to pass. And when I begin to call out on God and begin to learn the principle of that, all these things that will begin to happen, and then I realize that the light has already went before this, and it's already illuminated, and all the things that would begin to surprise me are already exposed to me. So if I was standing here in this room now and all these kinds of insects and cockroaches began to run the aisle, they would already be exposed to my vision, correct? I would already see how many kinds of rodents and pests would begin to run across my point of view, and how so many times that if we're trying to walk in darkness in this life, and how the enemy will put things in our path, but yet without the light of God in our path, we're so unaware so many times, and we'll get drawn away and we'll get pulled down simply because our path is not well lit. We're not seeking God for the well-lit path. We're not being able to understand where God is wanting us to be. And I'm telling you, there is a place in God where it is well-lit. There is a place in God where you won't be took by surprise. There is a place in God where you'll rise and not be caught off guard. There is a place in God where when somebody would say something to harm you, that you won't be took off guard and shocked and hurt. But it'll be a place where you'll be guarded. It'll be a place where you'll be able to handle it. And I've had so many people tell me that there'll be a day that you won't be able to handle the words, won't be able to handle the situation. But I'm learning that there is a place in your heart where the love of God will be deep down inside, that you'll be able to handle whatsoever would come, because you're able to see ahead as you begin to pray and seek God. It illuminates your path. It says that He is a light and to your path. I want to move pretty soon. And yet in my heart, I'm so fearful about where we would want to go. But don't you know, as we begin to seek God in such a way, I believe with all my heart that even God would put a light into the very house that we would need to go to. I believe that with all my heart. People are seeking for love in this day and time, looking for their special somebody. And if you would just seek God in such a way, He would put a line into your path and show you exactly who you need to be with. And so often we think, God, I don't know if I need to be here, or I don't know if I need to go to this place. But if you seek God for the understanding, He will light your path. He will show you the places that you need to be. God, I don't know if this is the church and the place that I need to be, where I need to obey You. God will light, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. He will light a path for you. God, I don't know if this is the appointed time. He will make a way, and He will show you where you're not walking in darkness. He'll give you the understanding. God, I don't know if this is the time for me to be a witness to somebody. He'll show you the appointed time, and you'll know that you know that it's the time to speak to them. You won't have to be fearful. It's as if you're walking into a well-lit room, and you know the next stair is ahead of you, and you know the next one is ahead of you. You won't walk blindly, because God has already made the way. He'll light into your path. The point of that is, we don't ever begin to see the light until we begin to seek God. So I'm going to get to the part that is hard to preach. We're walking in darkness most of the time because we don't take the time to seek God. And trust me, it's hard for me to say that, because more often than not, I don't seek God like I should too. Sure, it's easy to seek God, to be able to follow Him in preaching. But what about in being able to handle all things? You want to be really human? What about all things? All things. What about getting up in the morning and handling all things? What about being able to handle everything in love? Oh, hallelujah.
What about being able to handle every situation in love? I don't think that anybody in this room has got to a place where we're able to handle it all in love. If we were there, we would never find ourselves in a place where we were bitter. Somebody's going to have to help me preach tonight. We wouldn't find ourselves in a place where we were distraught or confused. Hallelujah. We wouldn't find ourselves where we felt like we were in the dark. Do you understand what I'm saying? We wouldn't feel like we were in the dark, for if we were seeking God like we should be, oh, hallelujah, we would have the understanding. And if anything, we would feel like that we were well on our way to where we were going to be, because the path would be lit before us. I realize that where my life has been lit, and I'm beginning to see a lot more clearly. My heart is beginning to see where I need to go. When the light is turned on, you begin to see people that's without. You begin to see people that's heartbroken. And how could you ever stand and say that you are ever in need of anything? How could you walk in life and say that you need anything more? How could you ever find time to say that you need time for me? I can't anymore. I can't do it. And I realize that God saved my life. It has brought me out of darkness and turned the lights on for me so I could see how bad that we're living in these end days. And you don't have to be out in the world to see the presence of darkness, as evil as it is. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. And as I begin to minister outside, inside, everywhere that I go, the presence of evil is abundant. Evil has no preference. It takes hold of anybody that will be willing to grab hold. And how great is the presence of evil for those that would let their light grow dim. In other words, that when we begin to let go of the ability to seek God, or when our eye isn't single, or when we're not singly focused on seeking God, when God isn't first, when we don't seek Him first, when it's not our central focus, when it's not the number one thing that we do, the presence of evil will overtake you. It will overtake you. It will overwhelm you. In the ways that you are weak. It's never the same for anybody. It's not the same. It's only in the ways that you are weak. It's not going to affect you the same way that it would affect me. But how many of us know that it will turn the lights off in both our rooms? And how many of us know when the power goes out that it gets cold? With no light, there's no warmth. There's no warmth. You're cold. When you get cold, there's no life. No movement. I'm beginning to see such a chill fall over any church that you go to. A chill where the lights are growing dim. We're beginning to see a movement like I've never seen, where the lack of seeking God is beginning to see people fall prey to their weakness inadvertently. I know this is not what we wanted to hear tonight, but I want you to hear this so that you go out of here and be on guard. We're falling to our own weakness simply because we're not making the effort like we should be. This is one of those sleeper things where it happens unexpectedly. I mean, we can come in and hear the songs and hear the preaching, but this is on a very personal level. This is something that you've got to dig in and do. Something that you've got to fight for in your own life. I want to read a couple other parts. I don't want us to miss this tonight. Says Luke chapter 12, verse 2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Another ability of the light is that it exposes that which has been covered by darkness. And no matter how much I tried to cover up all of my sins when I was in trouble, when I came to God, I had to confess them all. When the light came to deliver me, I had to bring everything to God. But no doubt He delivered me from them all.
But the light had to come and show them all to me. And I had to acknowledge every fault in my life. And if we want true change, we want true power with God, we're going to have to own up and let everything be exposed in our life so that when we come to the truth of ourselves, that God can do a great work in our life. I know that I have faults, and I know that I failed so much, but when the light of God finally showed me every fault of me, and I let Him do a work in me, I have never felt more free. I've never felt more power because I overcame the parts of me that I let God change. I didn't have to hide anymore, because when the light showed me the faults of me, I was able to finally grow and overcome those parts that I tried to hide it for so long in some closet, tried to hide for so long from all. I didn't have to be an addict, oh, behind closed doors. I didn't have to hide any longer. God delivered me from that. I was set free from that. The faults to which that evil had tried to hold me down, I was set free by the light which showed me that there was something that had to be different. And by Jesus Christ moving my life, I was never the same. The Spirit of God moved. Hallelujah. And the light began to transform me in a way that I never thought that could be done. If we don't begin to realize that we must begin to use the light of God, oh, to reveal that there are faults within ourselves, we're never going to get past anything. Hallelujah. We want to turn the flashlight on, point it at our brother, and point out all the flaws and say, oh, look at everything that everybody's ever done. We'll look at the news and, oh, look at everything they're ever done. Oh, look at them. They shot and killed somebody. They're in court. Look, I cannot believe they did that. Everybody's got their flashlights out, but nobody wants to hold the lantern up within their heart. If anybody understands how hard it is to battle pride, I do. Pride's hard to admit that there's faults within. But if you can just get that shown inside of you, what a bright light that could shine in your life to others. What a great work that you can do to others. What a great benefit that you can be. What a great work that your life can be. Light has no fellowship with darkness. It cannot happen. They cannot dwell with one another. And oftentimes we try to intermingle the two and intermix the two and even try to have church with those intertwined with one another. And there is no fellowship with those. And we will, in order to have a interdwelling in the presence of God in our life where we feel full of God, we will get rid of the parts that lead us eventually to that presence of darkness. Now, Jared, I don't live in darkness. Listen, when we're not walking in the lights are off. I'm not here to debate this. I'm just letting us know that it's the same principle of no man can serve two masters. If I'm not actively serving Christ, then I'm not being of benefit to Christ. If a minister is not bringing forth the Word of God, is not channeling the Word of God, is not just seeking for that next right now Word, is not ready to bring that burning Word out, then there is something that needs to change. If we as church members are not trying to do all that we can to back the Word of God, back our singing, back and move together as one voice, one accord, to be obedient as a church, then something inside has got to change. We've got to begin to turn the lights on. We want a power company to run our lights. And we just want to be able to flick a switch on. But there is maintenance. There's work to your walk. There's something to be said about how precious it is to have a light of God in your life. There's something precious about the gift of knowledge. Hallelujah. My heart goes out. My heart is touched this night. I feel such a release of the presence of God. I feel such a presence of the Holy Ghost. I know that we are longing for something different. But we've got to get to that very first part. You've got to seek until we can break through the first part. Until it's first. Somebody say that with me. It's got to be first. It's got to be first. I'll read this last part. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God spoke light into this world, right? Hallelujah. Does that not stir your heart? Spoke the very light that we see by, the very natural thing that illuminates each and every day that rises. And yet we're illuminated in our spiritual life. We do not walk in darkness. We walk by something new. We're seeking for things every day. My heart is blessed. And I know that even in the midst of resistance amongst those that would try to press against, I can still have light. Church, we've got to seek God first. And it's got to be single. It's got to be the first thing. It's got to be before everything else. Or otherwise, we're going to begin to walk in a place that we never thought we would, never dreamed that we would. And we'll begin to dwell in darker places. And as I've prayed and prayed and been seeking God for this place. So tonight, I just encourage you just to remember the word. Remember what was spoken tonight. And don't forget that. Because it's your life. It's what you do with it that matters. What you make of it. How you choose to live it. But I say put Christ first.